2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lo Debar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lo Debar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan my father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread upon the table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Amen. What a lovely story. We could entitle the message tonight, "From Rags to Riches." Rags to Riches, because you have this beautiful narrative here where we find this man Mephibosheth, and he's far away from King David, but the king in grace sends for this man, this deformed, disabled man who's far away, and he brings him to the palace. So it is a rags to riches story. Over the last few months we've been thinking about that little phrase, "fear not." Fear not. And tonight, we come to verse 7, and here we have another "fear not." Another one of these lovely "fear nots" of the Bible. Verse 7, "And David said unto him," that's Mephibosheth, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." So here we have a lovely "fear not." You know, the "fear nots" of the Bible are intended to drive away our fears. Because the Lord knows that we're prone to be fearful. We're prone to be anxious. We're prone to worry. And so he says, "Fear not." He wants to drive away our fears. Now in this passage in 2 Samuel chapter 9, it was grace that drove away Mephibosheth's fears.
I want you to notice that.
Grace. The grace of God, the undeserved favor of God, or I suppose to make it applicable to the story of Mephibosheth, we could say the undeserved favor that David showed to Mephibosheth, that's what drove away Mephibosheth's fears. And so David says to him, Mephibosheth, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. You know, it's the same with us tonight. As we come to the throne of grace, the only thing that drives away our fears is grace itself, the grace of God. It's not us, it's not our righteousness, it's not our holiness that gives us confidence to come into God's presence tonight. If it was down to our holiness and our faithfulness and our righteousness, we would be barred from God's presence, isn't that right? But it's because of the grace of God in Christ, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's why we can come with confidence before God tonight and seek Him in prayer. I want you to think, first of all, tonight, as we really get down to the message, think of Mephibosheth's deformity, his deformity. We're told there in the very last verse of the chapter, it says that he was lame on both his feet. Lame on both his feet. He was deformed. He was an invalid. He was a cripple. You know, that reminds me of each one of us tonight, spiritually, because we're deformed. When we were born into this world, we were deformed. Oh, not physically deformed, but spiritually deformed. We were deformed by sin. You see, sin always deforms. I remember an old preacher, he put like this, and I thought he put it well. He said, sin deforms. The Bible informs. Christ transforms. I thought that was good. Sin deforms. The Bible informs. But Christ transforms. But, you know, where it all starts, and that's where we must start in presenting the gospel, we must take people back to where sin came in, to the Garden of Eden, and the fact that we're all sinners because of Adam's fall, the man that God had made and created in his image, because of his fall, then the whole creation is lame. The whole world, all mankind, suffer from this spiritual lameness. But then whenever Christ transforms us, whenever the grace of God reaches us and saves us, we still realize that we've got a problem with lameness. We know what we're like apart from the grace of God. Spurgeon put it like this, the more grace we have, the less we shall think of ourselves. For grace, like light, reveals our impurity. He put it well. The more grace we have, the less we shall think of ourselves. For grace, like light, reveals our impurity. You know, there never was a Christian, never was a man born again, who, whenever the Lord saved him, he started to strut around with his chest out and his head up high and said, oh, I'm great. I'm wonderful. Look at me, I'm special. Did you ever hear a true Christian talk like that? Did you ever hear a Christian woman, whenever the Lord reached and saved her, did you ever hear her going around talking like that, boasting about how good she is? Well, all I can say is, if they do boast like that, it tells me they're not saved. They never have experienced the grace of God. Samuel Rutherford, the Covenanter, you know what he said? I am a dry and withered branch, a piece of dead carcass, dry bones, and not able to step over a straw. Able to step over a straw. He was referring to lameness, spiritual lameness. In himself, he realized that he was like Mephibosheth. Absolutely nothing. He was absolutely unworthy without Christ and apart from the grace of God. You know, we're all the same. If it wasn't for grace, we wouldn't be here tonight. If it wasn't for the saving grace of God, we wouldn't be in a prayer meeting tonight. We wouldn't be saved. Without grace, if I can put it like this, we're no better than Judas. You think about that, Judas Iscariot, the son of perdition, the man who denied or who betrayed Christ. The reality is, without grace, you and I are no better than Judas. Cain. People despise Cain. They think of Cain, whenever you mention the name Cain, everybody thinks of a rebel, an infidel, an unbeliever, a reprobate. You know what? If it wasn't for the grace of God that saved you and me, we would be no better than Cain. We're all deformed. And when we think of the deformity of Mephibosheth, his lameness, we're reminded of our own spiritual deformity, our own spiritual lameness. But that's not where the story ends, because I want you to think not only tonight about this man's deformity, I want you to think about his dad. Who was his dad? Who was his father? Well, you read there in verse 3, and the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. Mephibosheth's dad, his father, was Jonathan. And you see, King David, he says, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness? Listen, for Jonathan's sake. That three words, for Jonathan's sake, they're very important. David was showing kindness to Mephibosheth, not because of Mephibosheth. Now, I want you to really grasp that. It wasn't because of Mephibosheth. It wasn't because he deserved the kindness. But you see, this kindness was being lavished on Mephibosheth simply because of his father, Jonathan. You know, in 2 Samuel 21, it tells us, but the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. Those two men had made an oath. You can read about it in 1 Samuel. David and Jonathan made an oath. And they made an oath that they would look after the other's family members if one died. The other person would look after their loved ones that were left behind. They swore an oath. And you see, in 2 Samuel 9, David is keeping his word. He's obeying the oath. And that's the reason why he's kind to Mephibosheth. That's the reason why he shows grace to Mephibosheth. That's the reason why he brings him from a far off land to the king's palace. Mephibosheth was living in poverty. He was living in abject misery. But David takes the initiative and he goes after this son of Jonathan and wants to show kindness to him for his friend Jonathan's sake. My, we have here a lovely parallel with the gospel. We have a lovely picture of the gospel here. You see, in Ephesians chapter 4, it exhorts us, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Listen, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The reason why God forgave my sin was for Christ's sake. Oh, it wasn't because I deserved his forgiveness. It wasn't because I deserved his pardon. It was for Christ's sake. The reason you're forgiven tonight, the reason why you have no reason to fear, the reason tonight why you have no need to fear, is because you've been forgiven and forgiven for Christ's sake. It's because of the Son of God that are forgiven. Now, just to go back to the question that David asked, I love a little word that you find in that question. David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul? Any. Did you notice that little word, any? That's the scope of God's grace. Anybody. You know, God in heaven tonight, he wants to lavish his grace on any. Nobody's excluded. Nobody is barred from the grace and the mercy of God. He wants to save the drunkard. He wants to save the gambler. Oh, in the present time, surely, we're thinking and praying about that gay marriage law that the government are trying to force upon us. But you know what, tonight, God wants to lavish his grace upon the homosexuals. Those people, poor blinded souls, let's remember that. I know we're praying against this bill, but let's remember that these people are just prisoners to the devil. And God sent his Son that they might be saved. We ought to pray for their conversion. God wants to lavish his grace upon them. God wants to lavish his grace upon the Muslims. The Muslim people have been much in our thoughts ever since that young soldier was cut down. But you see, God loves them and he longs to lavish his saving grace upon them. Any. I love that little word, any. Yes, the oath was made between David and Jonathan. And you see, there's a great oath that has been made between God the Father and God the Son to provide salvation for the lost world. Hebrews chapter 6, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. His deformity, his dad, but finally tonight, about his diet, Mephibosheth's diet, the food that he ate. You see, we're told there in the last verse, he did eat continually at the king's table. We're told in verse 10, that Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. There was this poor cripple, poor beggar. He was lame on both his feet. He had to be carried to the king's table. But you see, whenever he took his place at the king's table, no one saw his deformity. Nobody saw his lameness. His lameness was covered. His deformity was covered. Do you know, as we come to the king's table tonight in this Bible study and prayer meeting, God doesn't see your deformity. My deformity. He doesn't see our sin any longer. He sees his Son. He sees the righteousness of his Son. He sees the finished work of his Son. And that's all he needs to see. And the beauty of Christ covers our deformity. That's why we can come before him this evening. Think about this as we finish tonight. Whenever David looked across the table to Mephibosheth, I'm sure he saw the resemblance of Jonathan. I'm sure he saw a resemblance of his faithful friend. Here was Jonathan's son sitting at the table. And you know what it's like, a father and a son, there's always that resemblance. Of course, there's a physical likeness. And I'm sure David, as he looked at poor lame Mephibosheth, he could see Jonathan in that young man. Do you know, that reminds me tonight, as God the Father looks down upon you and me, do you know who he sees? Christ. He doesn't see you and me in a sense. He sees his Son. He sees the resemblance, the likeness. He sees his own Son. The family likeness is there. And because of that, we can come in to God's presence tonight. Because of the likeness that God the Father sees in us to his Son, because he sees us as in Christ, not in our sins any longer, but we're in Christ, because of that glorious fact, God the Father welcomes us tonight to the place of prayer. Because of grace, we need not fear. Surely as we think of this story tonight, as we think about how the grace of David drew Mephibosheth, brought Mephibosheth to the palace, surely it should encourage us tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, David's greater Son, surely it should encourage us tonight that we're welcome at his throne. We're welcome to enter into his presence. Fear not. What wonderful words. You know the reason why we need not fear tonight? It's because of the grace of God. Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. There's a lovely verse of a hymn. Grace will always be greater than sin. Calvary has proven it time and again. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, God's grace will always be greater than sin.